happening.
You're right, it is happening. Like at Coca-Cola, they say they need to train their employees to abolish whiteness. We have a supply and demand issue with racism in our country. We have an incredibly low supply of racism, an incredible demand to try to fulfill it. So we've created racism where it doesn't exist and tried to turn everyone into mini racists against each other, which has now manifested itself into a massive anti-white movement in our country where I believe more than anything else we should care about character, not skin color. Do you agree with that?
It's not, I don't believe that you understand what I'm saying.
You live in the least racist country in the history of the world.
You're in Alabama. You are literally in the place where it's not okay.
We are the least racist, most accepting, multiracial country in the history of the planet, and I pray one day you'll be thankful to live in that country. Okay. Thank you for being here tonight.
Well, what an answer. I mean, and he's so right. I mean, the least racist, multiracial country in the history of the planet. I mean, look around the world. It is not, what we have here is not in the majority of other places. And yet, the claims of systemic racism, and I love how he put it, that we have a supply and demand problem. We have too little racism and yet too much demand for it, apparently. And so they have to fabricate it and say it's where it's not. Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin, I refer to him as Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, was apparently speaking internationally this week. Story on 1819 News, which is up right now, as a matter of fact, came out yesterday. Headline, Birmingham Mayor Woodfin blames the city's flooding issues on climate change and racism. Well, go figure. I didn't know you could have flooded streets because of racism. Now, here's his justification. He points out, while he's speaking at the Bloomberg City Lab Summit in Amsterdam, Netherlands, an event hosted by Bloomberg Philanthropies and the Aspen Institute, he's speaking and saying, I've been serving as the mayor for the last 5 years. What I didn't know when I signed up for this job was that I would also have to compete with extreme weather events such as flash flooding. I guess he figured that once he got elected, there would be no more extreme weather. That's what it sounds like. But anyway, moving on from that, he says that they've had a review of the 27,000 inlets, and I'm assuming by that he means, you know, talking about the ability for the city to flush rainwater from the streets. And he says 18,000 of them have been assessed to be past their lifespan. He says the city has looked at repurposing empty lots, planting more trees, but the biggest impact might come from partnering with the federal government through Joe Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law. When asked how race and equity have impacted flooding in Birmingham, like, why is that a question? Can you tell us, please, how race and equity have impacted flooding in Birmingham? Okay. He discussed how he believed that historical racism affected the layout of the city, leaving black neighborhoods in the worst areas for pollution and flooding. Okay, I want to point out something. There has been a black mayor in Birmingham nonstop for the last 43 years. The city council has been largely a black city council. The city waterworks. It's not like there have been no people of color in positions of authority to make changes to infrastructure. If he says that he's taken office in the last 5 years and of the 27,000 inlets, 18,000 have been found to be past their lifespan, I would assume that came during a time when there was very likely a black mayor. What the heck did he think? And yet, it's systemic racism. It's all intentionally deliberate, he says. So in the last 5 years, everything we do is now centered around justice and racial equality. And Woodfin touted his office's division of social justice and racial equity, adding that climate change has to be part of the conversation, and he wants to make sure that they redesign city streets in an equitable fashion. This is where Charlie Kirk said, when you don't have enough racism, you got to manufacture it and put it where they say it is. Race baiters and charlatans, y'all. How about this one? MSNBC. Dateline, September 15th, just about a month or so ago. Biden administration announces its first major step to fight America's racist roads. Oh, he says, oh, so Mayor Woodfin was just parroting the narrative here. I see. So MSNBC reports the Biden administration is capping off the president's recent trip to Michigan, focused largely on worker rights. That's a whole other segment. And transportation innovation by handing out its first federal grant to dismantle a highway built to perpetuate racial discrimination. They claim that Interstate 375 was a highway that was built with the sole purpose of being bisecting Detroit's Black Bottom neighborhood, that's what it's called, and its epicenter of black businesses in a place called Paradise Valley. So they claim the interstate was put in for the purpose of bisecting that neighborhood. I guess that means that once it was built, you couldn't, you know, like drive under it, like they didn't have any bridges where, I mean, you couldn't access either side. I don't know. Did they like gentrify the other side? I don't know what's happening here. But the reality is Buttigieg, so Transportation Department Secretary Pete Buttigieg has spoken directly of America's racist infrastructure, and he's placed particular emphasis on road construction. They're headed that way. They're going to fix it. All the racist roads. But what happens when they get caught? Oh, have I got a caller on the line, bud? I am so sorry. I'm just sitting here just opining, man. Who's that on the line? Is that Sparky? Ah, Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good. Great show, you and Boomer.
Thanks, man.
You heard me say recently, everything from the far left seems to be about gaining, maintaining, and sustaining power or lining their own pockets with money.
Right.
And you can't find a more glaring example than the race baiting, the race identity politics, and the politics of race, which is all centered on, obviously, trying to keep minorities on the Democrat voting rolls perpetually and forever. And in doing so, their goal is to perpetuate hatred and mistrust of whites and the wealthy. And that's why that girl sounded so exasperated in that earlier clip you showed, because she's been told everybody in this state hates you and they're all racist.
Yeah.
And when she's confronted with the truth, she doesn't know how to handle it. But nobody's learned. Nobody's learned from the decades and decades of condoned extortion perpetuated by the Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson
and
their ilk. But it's all based in a lie, because more and more blacks are departing the Democrat Party because they see through the lies and they hate being insulted. The biggest insult ever.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? Sparky, we lost your signal, brother. He's back. You back?
How about now? Yep.
All right, I got about 10 seconds.
The biggest lie is that blacks are unable to go down and get voter ID. What an insult that is.
Yeah.
To any human being.
Totally, Sparky. You encapsulate my thoughts quite well every time. Listen, brother, got to go to a break. You have a great day. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. There's no way I can finish all the material I've got. I guess that's because there's so much evidence out there of race baiting and charlatans that the stack I've got cannot get possibly done in a half an hour. Not possibly. All right, folks, we're going to try. We'll get some more of it done. Y'all stay tuned. Race baiters and charlatans. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Jumping right back in, race baiters and charlatans. That's the title for this section of the Triple Dipper. So you may have heard about the fuss, because some Democrats got called on the carpet for racist comments. So story on the Daily Wire here is just one of the many that I could have chosen to do this. But if you didn't hear about it, Los Angeles city council members are, they're having a complete come apart in L.A. right now. A complete come apart. A Democrat by the name of Nuri Martinez recently had to resign as the president of the L.A. City Council. And so did the L.A. County Federation of Labor president, Ron Herrera. Why? Because they were caught on tape maligning other members of the council. And when I first saw it, I thought, okay, what did they say? That was bad. I mean, it was like not a little bit. Like, for instance, one of the other members of the council is the article here on Daily Wire says, his name is Mike Bonin. He's a gay white man. He has an adopted black son, a little toddler. And she's saying things like, He treats his young black son like an accessory, calls the little son, literally, and this is her words, not mine. I hesitate to even say it, calling him a monkey. I mean, it's awful. I mean, he's treating him like a little white kid. I got to take him back behind the floats of the parade and beat him like a black child. I mean, it was just awful. It went on and on and on. It was just gross. Well, she got caught, and I cannot help but think that in most circumstances, she would have gotten away with it. But she got caught, and, man, she lost her position, and they're calling for more resignations. And so I will say that there are times when apparently Democrats get caught on the carpet. This one was way too blatant, way too obvious, and way too awful for it to be allowed to perpetrate and just continue on. But it's not like this is the first time. I mean, you look at L.A., here's two other stories. Like, for instance, the same yesterday, in the wake of that whole thing, there's an election underway to be the mayor of L.A. Two of the top candidates, one of them is a guy named Rick Caruso. He's a billionaire real estate developer. He's facing U.S. Representative Karen Bass. She's a Democrat. Karen Bass is a Democrat who is also vying to be, what the article says here on NBC News, the first black female mayor. Caruso is of Italian heritage. And so they were doing a debate with Telemundo. And Telemundo, the next mayor of Los Angeles, the guy named Dunya Elvir, says the next mayor of Los Angeles will be either an African-American or a white man. And he interjected, he didn't want to be labeled as a white man. I'm Italian. And Elvir responded, an Italian-American, at which point he insisted, no, my racial identification should be Latin. Oh, okay. He drew a lot of scorn, a lot of mockery, but apparently no one wants to be white in L.A. politics anymore. But then what happens when a black conservative runs? Do you remember last year? Larry Elder, conservative radio talk show host Larry Elder. You've seen him on Fox News a lot. He ran for governor. There was a recall effort to bring Gavin Newsom down. Oh, my gosh. And of course, Gavin Newsom won. But as Larry Elder is running for office, the LA Times, and I've got a copy of it in my hand. I almost feel like I want to get a shower after I read this thing. LA Times, dated August 20th of 2021, written by a lady named Erica Smith, column, Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. You have been warned. So, okay. She goes on to say some of the most awful things, and the LA Times printed it like it was just okay. Larry Elder smiled the smug smile of a black conservative who could very well be liberal California's next governor. Where do you start with the damage governor? And goes on to talk about it. She says, I won't lie. Few things infuriate me more than watching a black person use willful blindness and cherry-pick facts to make simplistic arguments that whitewash the complex problems that come along with being black in America. She does realize he's black, right? Like a lot of black people, she says, I've learned that it's best to just ignore people like Elder, people who are, like my dad used to say, skin folk but not kin folk. I mean, this is an article in the LA Times. She goes on to say, Elder opposes every single public policy idea supported by black people to help black people. Y'all, he's black. That's obviously not true. If a black man is supporting conservative policies, doesn't that indicate that there are black people that are also conservatives? The reality is, yes, he's a black man. But he's supporting conservative policy ideals. That's the deal. That's the thing. And she can't accept that. And so in an effort to go ahead and be non-racist, she writes the most racist column that she actually says on the page three, his candidacy to her felt personal, like an insult to blackness. Her article is an insult to the black community. And then you got Burgess Owens, just a great guy. Utah Representative Burgess Owens said he would not participate in a debate just this week. He revealed to Breitbart News, said that his principals would be offended by this because the Salt Lake Tribune was going to be moderating the event. And because he's a black conservative, the Salt Lake Tribune had put up pictures of him as if he was a KKK member in their periodicals last year. And Owens says they still stand behind it. And I don't intend to be a man who grew up in the segregated South and became a conservative having to fight off bigots today. I'm going to tell you right now, race baiters and charlatans. I didn't even get to all my material. But folks, we cannot sit idly by and accept the claims. I agree with Charlie Kirk. supply and demand. They have a high demand for racism. It does not exist in the level of supply they want. There you go. We are not systemically racist. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Take it to the bank. We'll be right back.